Hi, this is Travis Robertson. Thank you for downloading the Lake Norman Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or would like to contact us, check out our website at lakenormancoc.org. We would also like for you to visit with us at a worship service. You are always welcome at the Lake Norman Church of Christ.
He completes me is our theme for this year. The picture of a puzzle up there, and it's missing a piece. And now it's gone, the whole thing. All right. My family has enjoyed doing puzzles for a long time. My grandparents have done puzzles. I grew up doing puzzles. Some of you may have done the same thing. It was something to sometimes pass the time. It was something to do and enjoy someone else's company, just sit and talk while you're doing this puzzle, kind of a nonsense thing. But there's nothing more frustrating than getting to the end of the puzzle. There's one piece, and it's gone. And you can't find it. You tell everyone, well, search under the table, start diving under. You got people crawling around, they're looking all, they look under the rug, they look everywhere, and they can't find it. So you instead don't get to see the beautiful picture at the end of it. You decide, I've got to destroy this thing, throw it back in the box, and put it away. And then a week or two later, you're vacuuming. And what do you find? That stupid missing piece, right? It's just right there. It was there the whole time and you missed it. It was flipped upside down so you didn't see the color. It just blended in with the carpet. It's frustrating. We go through our lives seeking to be complete. We seek it in a bunch of different ways. As we look at the world around us and other people that we know, we seek it in our jobs. What are you going to do when you grow up? Because a lot of times that is how we define ourselves, by what we do. And it's one of the first questions people ask us when they meet us. Oh, hi, my name's Travis. Well, what do you do? I'm a preacher. And that automatically defines me as someone that's going to judge them for however they speak from now on. I used to hate it when people would ask me what I do for a living, because I'd say that and they'd be like, oh. You know, but at the same time, now I enjoy it because you know exactly what I do, and you know that I want you to know the gospel, that I want you to know Christ. And so I've grown up, I've matured in my understanding of telling people what I do for a living, but sometimes we define ourselves like that, but we don't ever quite feel complete because our life isn't about what we do for a living. That's not what matters the most. To some people, it's money. And they seek it out, and they finally get to this point where they could buy anything they want to buy. There's nothing they can't have in this life. And yet, how do they continue to live? As if they don't have any money at all, that they have to get more and more of it, and all they're doing is collecting barns full of money. But has that completed them? Are they satisfied? Are they content? No, they keep striving for more and still feeling lost. They might have it together financially. You might have it together within your marriage. You might have it together in all these other random spots, but there's still something missing. And that's where Christ comes in. That's where God comes in. You see, He is your creator. He knows you in and out. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knows you, and He knows exactly what you need and what you're missing in your life. And so as we go throughout this year, we're going to look at a number of different things and how Christ, how God completes us in various ways, helps us become what we are truly meant to be. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, it says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Some of your versions might have the word perfection there. Now, this is a particular Greek word that our English translators have issue with really getting a good point across with it. The complete and mature, those are probably the best ways to translate this particular word. Perfection, I feel like in our English language, what does it do? It makes us think what? you are completely flawless, right? That you don't make any mistake whatsoever. And so then we think, well, I know I'm not going to be that. I'm never going to be perfect. Well, it's what the word means is to get to God's design end for you. When you think about a designer, somebody that designs something, whether it's a watch or a building, whatever it is, and then it's finally built and it comes to fruition, and it's that end and it's that beautiful picture. And when the puzzle's finally done and it's there, that's what it was designed to look like when you finally get that last piece in. That's what God wants to happen in your life, for you to get to that designed purpose that He has for each one of us. And so as we look at this verse, you know, we introduced this on a Sunday night back in December. And when we talked about it, Rob and Andy were coming up with a theme for CBC week 7. And as they talked about that theme, they were looking at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. And they were thinking about that number 7. In the Hebrew mind, means perfection, completeness, that this same idea. And then it just kind of clicked. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 6 plus 1 equals what? 8. No, 7. No, 7. Perfect, complete. And so that's a good way to remember this verse as our theme for the year, and to understand that's what we're striving for, is to be complete. And as we go through this morning, there's some things that the Hebrew writer does that helps us press on to maturity, that lead us on to maturity, to become complete. And those four elements this morning, starting off, is we have a high priest. A high priest that is going to help us move on and press on to maturity. I want you to listen to some of these descriptions within the Hebrew letter about Christ, our high priest. It says that He is merciful and faithful, chapter 2 and verse 18. That He is great and heavenly, chapter 4, verse 14. That He is sympathetic, chapter 4, verse 15. That He was appointed by God, chapter 5 and verse 5. That He is called by God, verse 10 of chapter 5. That He is a forever high priest, chapter 6, verse 20. He's never going to stop being that high priest. He is the high priest forever. No one else is coming to take His job. He is your high priest. Chapter 7, verse 26, He is holy. He is blameless. He is undefiled, exalted above the heavens. Chapter 8, verse 1, He is at the right hand of the throne of God. In chapter 9, verse 11, He is a better high priest. When you think about the high priest in the Old Testament, his job was to be that advocate for the people, between the people and God. And he would, on the Day of Atonement, go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant. And that was the process, at least the big process of what he did. And now we have Jesus Christ, our high priest, who is there to help us every step of the way. And what's great about it, as you look at those descriptions, He understands you. He knows what you're going through. He's lived this life here on earth. He's been through the temptations. He knows the schemes and the trickery of the devil. He understands all of that. And so when you do mess up, He gets it. That doesn't mean that you're okay. You need to make it right. You need to ask for forgiveness through Christ, your high priest. He is there to help you each step of the way. He is there to go before His Father on your behalf. He loves you. He gave His life for you. And He lives for you. We have a high priest that will help us be complete, become that person that God wants us to be. Secondly, this morning, we have a partaking. If you look there in Hebrews chapter 5, if we're going to be mature, if we're going to become complete in any way, we have to partake. Chapter 5, starting in verse 13, For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. The writer describes two kinds of spiritual food here: milk and solid food, or meat. My kids ask me for milk all the time, especially the younger ones, you know, Colton and Nolan. They'll say, can I have some milk with my lunch? Very clear, just like that's how Colton talks. Can I have some milk with my lunch, please? But they ask for milk, and I'm thinking, all right, I could give you milk, and I'm okay with that. But if you drink this entire sippy cup before you eat your food, you're not going to eat your food. And we get frustrated with that as parents because we want them to what? Eat the food and to gain the nutrients from it. Now, it's okay. The milk is good. But I want you to have more than just the milk. And here is the Hebrew writer is talking to these Christians at this time. They're stuck on the milk. Well, what about us? Are we stuck on the milk too? You know, the milk is wonderful. It makes you feel full, doesn't it? If you drink enough milk, you're full. You don't have to eat anything. You feel pretty full and you feel satisfied. You can go on the rest of your day and you're comfortable. But you're probably not going to grow the way you need to grow if you're missing out on some other nutrients. It's funny that we are one of the only, I don't know if I want to say it this way, but for lack of a better term, species, okay? We're not animals, but for lack of a better term. We're the only ones that when we grow up into adulthood, what happens? We still drink milk. We get cow's milk, we drink that. Eventually a cow stops drinking its mother's milk, right? And yet we're the only ones that tend to continue to do that, to drink that milk. And here the Hebrew writer is saying, come on guys, you should be past the milk stage. You should be moving on to eating some of this great spiritual food that you're missing out on. And once you've tasted of that, you can go on and you can do some wonderful things for God. But you gotta get past the milk. The milk is good. It's foundational. It's there for a purpose. But there is so much more that you need to have in your life. As you look at chapter 6 and verse 1, he says, therefore, leaving those elementary teachings about the Christ, let us press on to maturity. Those elementary teachings. Howard said on Wednesday nights as we're studying through this Hebrew letter, he said, it's like the ABCs. It makes me think of that. I don't know if it's Jackson 5 or what, but Michael Jackson, what does he do? A, B, C. It's as easy as... Or the other way. I'm not Michael Jackson. 1, 2, 3, A, B, C's. It's the simple things. As we look at the list that he gives in verse 2, it says, you know, instructions about washings, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment. We're thinking, well, I think those are pretty important, right? On some of those things, right? You're thinking, maybe I don't think I know everything I'd like to know about the resurrection of the dead. I don't think I know everything I'd like to know about the eternal. And then we get stuck on those things instead of moving on and growing and maturing in the Word of God. As you go back up into verse 14, and we haven't reached our designed end yet. He says, but solid food is for the mature, who because of what? Practice. Have their senses trained to discern good and evil. We've got to understand, this isn't something that we can just come in on a Sunday morning at Bible study, or hear 52 or 104 sermons out of a year. Now, you're already missing some because we had to cancel last week's service, so I'm going to have to get in a 2-for-1 one of these weeks. But that's not going to be enough. And a lot of the time, I can't go as deep as as we would like to in 20 minutes on a Sunday morning. We get stuck a lot of times on the surface things. We need to be diving deeper into His Word. And He says, so that you can discern between what is good and evil. How many times do we ask somebody else, hey, what do you think I should do? Not necessarily a bad question. Sometimes we need to ask somebody else, right? But are we always asking somebody else what we should do? Or have we trained ourselves through Scripture, through the practice, to understand and be able to discern ourselves what's good and what's evil and what I should be doing? We need to be partaking not only of the milk, but of that deep spiritual food. Thirdly, this morning there is a pressing that happens. When you look at chapter 6, verse 1 again, it says, let us press on to maturity. He says, leave those other things behind. Those washings, the judgment, the resurrection, those things. You need to be beyond that. You need to press past all of that. These people were stuck on a lot of the Old Testament rituals. What are we stuck on? Are we on the highway going 75 miles an hour, cruising and growing like crazy? Or are we stuck somewhere? I take Ethan to school in the mornings, and I drive up to Mooresville, and then I come back on 77, and there's a couple of exits I can take. So far, it's been exit 28, because exit 30 is under construction, and a lot of times when I get there, I'm thinking, oh, I could maybe get off there. But then people are stopped at that stop sign, and it's backing up all the way onto the interstate, and people are just sitting in the right lane of the interstate to get off. And they're stuck there in traffic. So I get into the left lane, I cruise on down to exit 28, and it's pretty free and clear. What are we getting stuck on in our life? It doesn't have to be Old Testament rituals. It's probably not that. It doesn't even have to be some great spiritual matter that we're thinking about, if it's the resurrection of the dead, or if it's eternal judgment, or these things that he's talking about here. Maybe it's a sin that we keep falling back into, that has just snared us and grabbed onto our leg like a bear trap, and it won't let go. And we know we need to get past it, but we keep falling back into it. Are we stuck in sin, in the muck and the mire? Can we push past that? If we're stuck on some of these elementary principles, can we get past those and start moving on to deeper things? Now, the Hebrew writer is wanting to talk about Jesus being the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Now, if you missed last Wednesday's class, you missed out on Melchizedek, because I'm not going to do that here on Sunday morning, at least not today. And he said, you guys aren't ready for this. I need to talk about this, but you're not there yet. We need to talk about how we can apply God's word into our lives, how we can press on to maturity so that we can discern between good and evil, so that we can move on and start living the Christian life. See, the problem with these Christians was, it seems like they're saying, this Christian life is just not what I wanted. It's a little bit too hard. There's persecution, there's all these things happening. If I just go back to the Old Testament way of doing things, I'd be okay in Romans' eyes, possibly, although Jerusalem's going to be destroyed in a few years anyway. But maybe I can get away from all this persecution. I can get back to doing things the way I used to do. If things could just go back to here, and we're thinking backwards instead of pressing forward. If you've done any studying of Walt Disney, he is an amazing leader, or was an amazing leader, and his influence still lives on today in the Walt Disney Company. I had the opportunity to go to San Francisco and go through the museum that gives you all this information about Walt Disney and the things that he innovated with his team and his people as they pressed forward in what they were doing in that company. And he said, there's people that would tell us we could not match up the sound with these cartoon characters talking, and we couldn't do that. It was impossible to do. And they found a way to do it. And he pressed forward. There was a time when we'd spend all of our money. But there's this new thing that we could start doing, and we're all excited about it, but we don't have the money. And so he said, let's go get a loan and let's press forward with this. That was a risky move. He didn't have the capital. He didn't have the money. But he did it. And they pressed forward and they continued to grow. Are we allowing ourselves to just get stuck in a spot? Maybe it's just the fact that you're comfortable with where you're at. I'm comfortable with what I do, with where I am, and I don't want to go anywhere else. And we're scared about what changes have to happen for me to grow and become that mature Christian. Hebrew writer says, it's time to press on. I'm saying to us today, we need to press forward. We need to continue to grow, not only in the studying of God's word, because yes, that's there, we need to partake of it, but in the application of it. Now that I know it, what am I doing with it? Am I actually living it out? Am I teaching others? One of the big problems he has with them in this context is, you ought to be teachers by now. Now, we think of teachers as those that come and teach a Sunday morning Bible class, right? That's usually what we think of when we think of teachers within the church, is you're going to teach a Sunday morning Bible class. That's a relatively new thing. A Sunday morning Bible class, or having Bible classes at church, in the last couple hundred years, that's a relatively new thing. And when he's talking about teaching, he's not talking about having a Bible class for children. He's talking about teaching one another. He's talking about teaching those outside the walls of the meeting place and bringing them to Christ. Maybe we ought to be teachers by now. And I'm not talking about Sunday school teaching. Amen. We ought to be teaching friends, family, neighbors. Who is my neighbor? Somebody once asked Jesus. And he gave them the story that we call the Good Samaritan, where he helped someone that, as a Samaritan and a Jew, probably shouldn't have had anything to do with each other. Who is my neighbor? Anyone in need, anyone I can help. And then finally this morning, what are we pressing toward? It's toward perfection. We have a perfection that needs to take place. This is our designed end, that maturity that we're seeking for, that we're pressing towards. That designed end. I wish I knew all the things God had for me in the future. It'd be awesome to know that and think, okay, here's some things I can plan out to make sure I get to that point where God wants me to be. We don't know what the future holds exactly, or what we're going to be doing, where we're going to be living. What we do know, we have right here in Scripture. He gives us everything that we need to know and everything that we need to grow and get to where he wants us to be. become complete. And the only way we can do that is through Christ Jesus, is through Him. This morning, there may be a relationship with a friend that you need to cut off because they keep dragging you away from church. They keep dragging you away from Christ. They keep pulling you further and further away when you know you've got to be getting closer. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, he says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us what? Draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We need to be drawing near to our high priest. We need to be drawing near to God. What is it that's drawing us away? Could be a friend. Could be, like I talked about earlier, sin. Could be that contentment. I'm good where I'm at. I like this. My bubble is all about me, and I'm good right here. Are you ready to press forward? To become someone that you never thought you would be, but with God's help, you can be. One of the amazing things about God is how He can take someone that you would have thought never would amount to anything. And then all of a sudden, this little shepherd boy becomes king of Israel. Or this harlot saves a nation in Rahab. Or how about Jesus born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth? Just Jesus the Nazarene. Or how about these fishermen that, "Hey, we're good at catching fish." Jesus says, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." And they leave their nets behind and they follow after Him. Whatever your occupation might be, it doesn't define who you are. God has a plan for you. Are you willing to go with Him? Are you willing to press forward? Are you willing to leave those nets behind and start doing what He wants you to do? Can we press on to maturity? If you're ready to do that this morning, it starts with your faith, your confession of that faith, your baptism to put on Christ. That's only a beginning point. We call those babes in Christ. But it's time to start drinking that milk and move on to that spiritual meaty food. If you need any kind of help this morning, if you're ready to leave something behind and you know you need your brothers and sisters, you know you need God, we're here for you. And we're ready to pray with you and for you, and in many cases, for ourselves. Sometimes we don't come forward when we should. But when there's someone that does, a lot of times that prayer that's led is for me. And it's for others that are sitting in their chairs. If you're ready to make a change and start growing in Christ, please come forward while we stand and while we sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feet.